afternoon, and welcome to Louisiana Focus, a production of the Communication Department at the University of Louisiana in Lafayette. I'm Janaea Judge Hemans.
And I'm Bree Foreman. In today's program, we'll hear about the Action Against Lung Cancer and how the Free to Breathe movement is growing across the nation.
The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have released an anti-smoking ad campaign that has viewers turning their heads away.
We'll take a look at the new student union at UL and how it will affect students and organizations.
Find out about the new ways the university is offering financial footing.
We have a story on Governor Jindal's new proposal and how it will affect schools in St. Landry Parish.
We'll also look at the Stand Your Ground law in Louisiana in light of the recent Trayvon Martin case.
And finally, the secret behind the Lady Cajun's impressive season. These stories and more up next. The fight against lung cancer is getting stronger, and local efforts are helping to raise awareness about the disease. Janaea Judge Hemans has a story of the Free to Breathe movement.
One of the best fundraising efforts to prevent and to treat lung cancer of any in the whole country. So you have made this quite a successful event. We thank you for coming out here and being here this morning. This is something that Southwest Louisiana really does in an incomparable way. And your presence here this morning reaffirms what's best about the community that we live in and that support for one another.
Last month in Lake Charles, Louisiana, those who felt it was time to join the fight against lung cancer finally had a flag to rally around when Mayor Randy Roach added his voice to the Free to Breathe movement. Even though lung cancer kills more people than breast, prostate, colon, liver, kidney, and skin cancers combined, less money is spent on lung cancer research than any others. Andrea Chalette, a student at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, says lung cancer awareness needs to grow.
Lung cancer awareness is just as important as any other cause. You don't have to smoke to get it. Secondhand smoke plays a big part of it as well. It can happen to anyone, and that's why it's such an important reason to get the awareness out to everybody.
The Free to Breathe movement is just one of many lung cancer awareness efforts that are growing across the nation. The goal is to raise funds for more research and ultimately find a cure. Chalette created a team to participate in this event. Her drive and inspiration for making a difference comes from her mother, Faye Chalette, who died from lung cancer several years ago.
It was 2004, and she found out that she had lung cancer, but by the time she found out, it was already terminal. So in 2006, she passed away from it. She was the whole reason behind making a team to show the support of her.
The Free to Breathe event in Lake Charles had about 1,100 participants and raised approximately $127,000, the most at a Free to Breathe event so far this year. Chalette says she will continue to participate in events like these and encourage others to do the same, because every small effort counts in the fight against lung cancer. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Janaea Judge Hemans. With cigarette smoking costing the nation billions of dollars in medical costs and lost productivity each year, it's no wonder for the first time in the United States history, the federal government is willing to fund a $54 million anti-smoking ad campaign. Seneca Broussard has the story.
The campaign, titled Tips from Smokers, will feature graphic images of people with obvious smoking-related health problems and testimonials from ex-smokers about how tobacco has affected their health and affected their lives. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, better known as the CDC, is responsible for the idea and plans to run the ads for 12 weeks on all sorts of media, including on television, on billboards, and online. According to the CDC, cigarette smoking remains one of the leading causes of preventable death and disease in the United States, killing more than 443,000 Americans each year. As an on and off smoker of 5 years, Alice Jackson acknowledges that the health risks associated with her smoking habit are real, but after seeing one of the CDC's anti-smoking ads, she still finds it hard to relate to on an individual basis.
It's like showing somebody with their skull cracked open from skateboarding. That's like the one in however many chances of you falling and cracking your skull. So they're making it seem like they're portraying it that it's going to happen that way all the time.
Scare tactics are often seen in health-related advertising, such as those related to the effects of smoking. And although the fear approach is used in hopes of deterring potential smokers and getting existing smokers to quit, Dr. Alice Ferguson of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette has researched such tactics and agrees that they are not as effective as one would think.
A lot of times what happens is it makes people just quit watching the ad. People tune out the message. If the images or the words are too strong, too scary, people will just tone that out and not notice. When they're facing that addiction cycle, another fear appeal is probably the last thing they need.
One of the CDC's ads features Brandon and Marie, two people living with Berger's disease.
Berger's disease, it's a vascular disease brought on by smoking.
My fingers started to go piece by piece.
First it was my left leg. After my left leg, it was my right leg. And so now I'm a double amputee, all from smoking.
According to Professor Ferguson, a more positive approach is key.
It's more effective to use a little bit less of a fear approach and a little bit more of a proactive approach to empower the person. The positive approach seems to make people feel enthusiastic and confident.
The CDC hopes that their ads, although tough to watch, will be substantial enough to prevent children from ever beginning to smoke and to help others who already do to quit, reducing their health risks tremendously. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Seneca Broussard.
It's out with the old and in with the new as the UL Lafayette prepares for a revamp of the student union. Murphy Batley tells what is expected from the new student union and how Reconstruction will affect one of the many student organizations.
At the heart of every university is the student union. At UL Lafayette, the student union was built in 1971 to support the needs of a growing university. It houses the cafeteria, auditorium, ballroom, and numerous meeting rooms for different organizations. But for UL Lafayette, it's out with the old and in with the new, with the university's dormitories and now the union being rebuilt. The student union director, Anthony Daniel, speaks on how and why the union is being renovated.
So there's the bookstore, ballroom, and student union, and the theater will stay up and be renovated. Everything else will be torn down, and we will build a new student union to connect to the ballroom and to the bookstore. The students, I want to say back in 2002 or whatever the case may be, they passed a referendum saying that they wanted to assess themselves fees to build them a new student union. This building is probably the living room of the campus, so to speak.
The new student union will be a showcase for the university, but many students are concerned on how the cafeteria's placement in Guillory Hall will affect the dining atmosphere. Executive Chef Sanders for Sodexo Cafeteria says that the construction is long overdue. It will give the cafeteria more options and more space for students. Chef Thomas explains how the cafeteria will serve students.
In the meantime, we're going to move the cafeteria to Guillory. We're going to serve the students out of Guillory Hall. And in the process of us cooking the kitchen-wise, we're going to have some portable trailers in the backside where we're going to be operating out of and just serving the kids in Guillory. Everyone will be inside eating Guillory. And then we also have our other place, Florida Lee, where we're going to offer the same meal that we are serving here to help ease the flow. So the people that's in the area of Florida Lee section over there, they can go and get the same meal that we are serving here at Guillory.
With the reconstruction of the union, some organizations and clubs that use the union are forced to relocate elsewhere. Kappa Christian Fellowship uses the Bayou Bijou every Thursday for their 7 p.m. worship service. Campus missionary Lee Blakeney believes that the renovation of the Bijou will affect the group's meeting.
It's going to affect Chi Alpha pretty greatly because Chi Alpha meets there on a regular basis. Once a week, we meet in the Bayou Bijou for TNL, which is our Thursday Night Live worship service, from 7 to 9, we're normally in there. But in my mind, it concerns me that possibly that growth could stop or could at least slow down.
Director Anthony Daniel looks forward to when the construction can begin so that we can see the new union.
We're keeping our fingers crossed that everything will... We are supposed to be out of this building in August for construction to start the first week of September. So hopefully September 2012, we will start construction on the new student union.
When asked on whether Chi Alpha sees themselves moving back into the union after reconstruction, Blakeney says they look forward to it, but feel challenged to grow and reach the campus no matter where they are. The student union is looking to be back in business and done with Reconstruction in a matter of 2 years at its earliest September 2014. With Louisiana Focus, I'm Murphy Batley.
The rising cost of student loans is doing damage to some college students' pocketbooks after graduation. Olivia Blanchard has the story.
According to the College Board, 43% of students in public four-year institutions take out student loans. In private nonprofit colleges, 54% take out student loans. And in USA Today, they reported that the average college graduate owes about $19,000 in student loan debt. College sophomore Jasmine Torgano tells how she acquires thousands of dollars each year from student loans with nothing left to save.
Student loans, I get about $4,000 to $5,000 a year, and Pell Grants, I get the highest one, which is about $5,500. No, I don't. All of it goes to the school and to my apartment. After that, it's all gone.
College financial aid advisor Christina Smith says which loan would be the better choice if a student had to apply.
The better loan is definitely the subsidized staffer loan. It's 0% interest while you're in school, and it goes to 3.4% interest when you get out. Unsubsidized staffer loan accrues interest while you're in school at 6.8, and it's 6.8 when you get out. So subsidized is the way to go.
Smith also stated that students can choose work study as an alternative to applying for student loans and gave a few tips on how getting an early start to paying off your loans could help you in the long run.
Yes, we do have work study programs on campus. If you're interested in working on campus while you're in class, maybe between classes, or we do have dorm counselor positions available to students that pay their housing off if you're a dorm counselor. Those are some of the options that you can do instead of student loans. Yes, some of the ways you can pay off student loan debt is to make small payments while you're in school if you can. Students are not obligated to pay on their student loans while they're enrolled at least half time, but if you can make small payments monthly, it'll help you out in the end.
Jasmine Torregano says that she does not know exactly how much she will owe, and although she has work study, the worry of paying back student loans has not gone away.
Yes, because the field I'm going in is a huge competition, and I'm worried that I won't be able to find a job. So paying them back will be hard without having money to go forward towards. As of right now, I don't know, but added up, I would say it'll be a lot.
For Louisiana Focus, I'm Olivia Blanchard.
Governor Bobby Jindal proposes taking $1.8 million from the St. Landry Parish school systems that it receives from the Racino and diverting the funds elsewhere. Reporter Jasmine Thibodeau has a story. As much as $1.8 million of taxes that were being taken from slot machines at the Evangeline Downs Racetrack and Casino to initially fund special education and technical training in St. Landry Parish is now being targeted by Governor Jindal. In Jindal's proposed budget for 2013, he wants to take the money and put it towards funding state Medicaid, Medicare. William Thibodeau, a former principal of a St. Landry Parish school who now works for the school board, is not for this proposed budget.
I personally don't agree with it because when the voters of the parish agreed to allow the Racino to locate in St. Landry Parish, it was under the condition that a certain percentage of the revenue would toward public school education or funding of public school education in St. Landry. And from an agenda to, after the fact, decide that that money would be better spent somewhere else is contrary to what the voters agreed to.
Janice Yule, who's a parent to a child in the St. Landry Parish school system, feels that this is a misplace of funds.
I feel that St. Landry Parish School Board is already in debt and that we need the money, and that's where the money should go.
Some people, such as Morgan Hart, agrees with Governor Jindal's proposal.
I'm fine with it because personally I don't believe that it ever ended up in the classroom anyway. I think it was just going into a politician's pocket, so we might as well move it into another program.
The St. Landry Parish School Board has already approved of two cost reduction proposals. A part of one of the plans could take away 10 bus routes.
That's something that I have to deal with on a personal level because I'm the transportation supervisor. It can be done, but some services will have to be cut back. You can't expect to maintain the same level of service with fewer people and fewer buses.
The St. Landry Parish School Board is already strapped for cash and will be submitting two cost reduction proposals to the state legislators' auditors' review committee. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Jasmine Thibodeau.
The Stand Your Ground law is now the focus in Louisiana. Sarah Hamm with the story.
The tragic shooting death of unarmed teen Trayvon Martin sparked a national outcry for justice. His killer, a self-appointed neighborhood watchman, George Zimmerman, roamed free for over a month before he was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. Zimmerman was not arrested because he said he acted in self-defense. What many Americans remain confused about is Florida's Stand Your Ground law, the law that the Sanford Police Department says prevented them from arresting Zimmerman on the night of the shooting. Before this tragic event, many people weren't aware of this law in their own states. 24 other states, including Louisiana, have a variation of the Stand Your Ground law. Corporal Paul Mouton, public information officer for the Lafayette Police Department, says that in Louisiana, the law applies if you are approached by an assailant and feel as though you are in imminent danger.
Whether in your home, whether in the parking lot, whether outside, if you are in public legally, not doing anything illegal, so say getting in and out of your vehicle, and you're approached with a person with a weapon, and you feel that your life is in danger, at that moment, you feel that you could lose your life as a result of this contact with this individual, you can take whichever steps that are necessary in order to protect yourself and the people that are with you to stop that aggression.
Corporal Mouton emphasized that the law protects you if you are being attacked or threatened, but not if you are the initial aggressor. Dr. Rick Swanson, the Associate Professor of Political Science and Pre-Law Advisor at UL Lafayette, explains how the law differs in other states.
The difference is that in some states, you have an obligation to flee from your attacker rather than stand your ground and defend yourself. And so what some states have said is that you shouldn't have to be required to run from the attacker, that if you want to defend yourself, you should be legally protected and allowed to defend yourself and then not get in legal trouble because you defended yourself and run away. And so Louisiana, along with Florida and other states, have said the law itself will protect you and give you the right to stand your ground.
Louisiana is no stranger to crime, with New Orleans having the highest murder rate per capita in the nation. Former mayor of New Orleans, Mark Morial, has been active in his protest to have the law reexamined because he feels that it gives a free pass to criminal behavior, as he stated in an interview for the Times-Picayune. The Trayvon Martin tragedy, along with national outcry, may force lawmakers to reevaluate the self-defense laws in certain states. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Sarah Hamm.
Lady Cajuns are on a roll with a successful start this season, and a lot has to do with coaching and pitching. Anthony Flores has more with the story.
Good job, Matt. Good job.
On the heels of the best start in school history, the UL Lady Cajuns softball team has climbed to a 7th seat in the National Ratings Percentage Index with the help of an impressive 30-1 record.
I think it means a lot to us, but to be honest, we're not really like looking at where we are in the polls. It's more about like how we progress, like with our process that we are and like the progress we're making. So it's kind of like us playing ourselves instead of us playing other teams.
Shelby Rogers, a sophomore pitcher from Greenwell Springs, Louisiana, tells us what it means to her and her fellow teammates about being ranked 7th in the nation. At the reins of it all, co-head coach Michael Lutief explains what these rankings mean to him and his girls.
The rankings are good because it gives you kind of a perspective from how outsiders see your program. But from within, as far as we see ourselves, we understand that we're still competing on the field, that it's about, you know, how we compete, how we play, how we take care of our business day in and day out.
And also explains the challenges and preparations his team must go through in hopes of hosting the regionals and maybe a shot at the NCAA Women's World Series.
The challenges in softball is tough. I mean, you play 50-something games, and every opponent can beat you. And, you know, you can't get too far ahead of yourself. You can't sit there and dwell on the past, and you can't really project too far out into the future. I mean, basically, what you have to do in this sport is, really and truly, because you're competing against yourself. And you're not worried about really the opponents that stand in your way. It's about a journey of self-improvement. It's about getting better practice by practice. It's about how you work together as a unit. Those are really the challenges in front of us, more so than any opponent or any team that lies between us and, you know, a championship.
Rogers also believes that her team has the dedication and talent to become the next number one team in the nation.
I feel like if we keep making the progress we are, then I think things would work out, and we could be seen as the number one team. I do think we have very good capability of being the number one team.
If the Lady Cajuns can meet the challenge of their three biggest opponents ahead in schedule, Florida Atlantic, Western Kentucky, and Louisiana at Monroe, and survive the playoff elimination rounds on May 9th, 18th, and the 25th, hosted in Boca Raton, Florida, it is possible that the UL Lady Cajuns will realize their dream, but a lot could happen between then and the World Series in Oklahoma City. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Anthony Flores.
Louisiana Focus is a production of the Communication Department in the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. It is produced in association with KRVS-FM. Today's producer is Rebecca Wilson, the director is Anthony Flores, and the faculty advisor is Professor Bill Davey. I'm Janaea Judge-Hemans.
And I'm Bree Foreman. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
And again, join us next Monday for another edition of Louisiana Focus here on KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. It's 22 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Weather for the listening area, sunny this afternoon, a beautiful day, a high reaching around 72, 73 degrees, a north breeze at 10 miles per hour. Clear skies remaining this evening, a low tonight of 49, a north breeze at 5 miles per hour, becoming calm. On Tuesday, another sunny day, a high of around 79 degrees. Currently, it's fair and 70 here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. Judith Merriweather will join us in just a few minutes with a rundown of the events calendar. We're going to listen to music by guitarist Gerd Vrusteman. His new release of Latin American guitar music is entitled Echo de Sombras. From it, these are four waltzes by Antonio Lauro. This is the Vals Venezolano numbers 1 through 4. new album by guitarist Gerd Vusteman entitled Echo de Sombras, Latin American Guitar Music. We heard four pieces by Antonio Lauro, the Vals Venezolano numbers 1-4. You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles. Again, another round of thanks to all who participated in last week's Spring Fundraiser 2012. It was a big success. Thanks to you. In a few minutes, we'll be joining Judith Merriweather here in the studio.
KRVS Studios, Jennifer Ritter with CSET, here to talk about Soirée du Cinéma, which is the festival film series that will start tonight, actually.
Yes.
Oh, festival activities starting up. I know people are getting excited about the stages going up, and so they can actually start doing things tonight.
Yes, absolutely. I know there was a kickoff party last week, but we've always joked that as long as we've been doing it, that this is the unofficial kickoff of festival, and it is for a lot of people. And we scheduled it that way so that people could kind of get into festival mode after work and still get home in a decent hour and still be able to think about all the really great music and art that you're going to see and experience, and just kind of get the ball rolling slowly with some films. And there's no competition, you know, there's nothing else really going on except regular life. So
in Lafayette, that means a lot. There's
yes,
a lot
it does.
Going on. Well, what do you all think about when you're choosing these films? What is your focus?
Our main goal really is to make sure that we highlight new work coming out of Louisiana, as well as interesting films from around the Francophone world. And so we try to hit on all the major continents, and you know, we just try to bring in stuff from Canada and France, as well as from the French-speaking nations in Africa and other countries, like I said, around the world that are French-speaking.
So it's really a broad group of films that you're looking at.
We cast a wide net, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you obviously chose some. You narrowed it down. What will people be seeing tonight at Cité des Arts?
Well, tonight we're starting off with Gainsbourg, A Heroic Life, which is a biopic about Serge Gainsbourg, a French singer and songwriter, and was very popular in the 60s. And then after that, we have a music performance with Philippe Biodeau, Sonny Duval, Peter DeHart, Andrew Tubes, and Anna Laura Edmiston.
So we have music as well in addition to the film. How long will the film last?
The film's about... it's about 2 hours. So doors open at 6. The film will start at 6:30. It'll go until about 8:30. And then we'll have a little intermission while we get the band set up. People can go have drinks and stretch their legs and then come back for some music.
All right. Now, do you have a, is there a place where people can go? So I'm sure they're busily writing this down, but where's the best place to go to find that complete list of films?
Sure. On the Festival International website, festivalinternational.com, you want to look in that first column for festival events, and then we're under the special events tab, Soirée du Cinéma. You just click on it. You can see it in either English or French, mm-hmm. And it's got descriptions about each of the films as well as all the pertinent information about when they'll be screened and where.
All right. Well, tomorrow evening is a really big night. It is a world premiere of a locally produced film.
Yes.
Someone who actually works up at CSET.
I know. We're very excited.
Very
John
proud
Sharp.
Of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John Sharp, who's recently come on staff with us over at the Center for Louisiana Studies, is premiering his film Water on Road. And it is a really wonderful story about a community that is slowly fading away on the coast here in Louisiana.
Hmm. And how long has he been working on this film?
Well, he produced it when he was working on his master's, which he completed last year. And that was his project, his graduate project. And he has since been working on it fast and furiously the past 2 weeks, polishing it and getting it ready for tomorrow night.
Hmm. So have you screened it? Have you seen
I've seen bits and pieces. He finally let me see some of it last week.
So the world premiere tomorrow of Water on Road, and that's about an hour long, I guess.
It's about 40, 45 minutes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a short night tomorrow night, but it'll be really a great evening to come out and enjoy some of the locally produced work that we have here in Acadiana.
And these films are free?
All of the films are free. Festival International is free. This is a part of Festival International, and therefore the films are free.
Yeah, and a really good opportunity to celebrate some of this creativity that's going on in our community. This week seems to be dedicated to that with the Innovate program going on and the Creative Summit going on tomorrow. So much going on, and a really great way to celebrate an actual product that someone has created.
Absolutely.
And then on Wednesday, you've got some shortcuts, short films.
Wednesday, in years past, we kind of just did it, and it worked really well, and so we've stuck with it. Wednesdays, we show short films. It's our shorts night. And we, in the past, have featured winners from the local film festival that won their shorts competition. This year, the festival didn't really coincide closely enough for us to be able to do that, but we are offering a set of shorts plus one. We have Public Broadcasting Systems got a series called POV, or Point of View, and they have created an hour's worth of short films. And some of them are animated, and some of them are acted out, and they're all very funny and short.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we're going to be showing The Pyro Maker, which was the side project by Robert Flaherty when he was down here filming the Louisiana Story in the 50s for Standard Oil Company.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen that, and that is definitely worth seeing if you haven't. Just really gives a slice of life in the 40s that just we don't know about it anymore. Except for filmmakers like him.
Yeah, and also starting Wednesday, we'll be at the French Press in their extra room. So the film tonight and tomorrow night will both be at Cité, and then from there we'll move over to the French Press for the remaining part of the series.
Okay, so for Wednesday and then Friday and Saturday.
And Sunday too, yes.
And Sunday. Sunday.
It's on the back.
It's another page.
Yeah.
So on Friday, you have no films on Thursday.
Correct.
Just a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
that night.
We have attempted to show films in the past on Thursday, and we've had two or three people come. And, you know, 1 year, the three of the four people there were my students earning extra credit. So we realized that it's foolish to compete with opening ceremonies. Everybody wants to be there. We wanted to be there. So we just take Thursday night off of films and encourage everybody to go downtown and celebrate the opening ceremonies.
Enjoy live culture.
Yep.
So Friday, you are back at the French Press, and you have two films.
Yes. Yes. And these two films will take place between the end of Bach Lunch and the beginning of music. so we can help keep people entertained and engaged downtown. They don't have to leave and then get tired and take a nap and have to drag themselves back to festival, which, you know, on Friday night you really shouldn't be at that point yet, but it happens. This way you can stay downtown, you can even find something to do with the kids, because the first film, Dessine Toi, is geared specifically towards kids. And
so go from Bach lunch to this film.
Yep. It'll be in a dark area, and maybe the kids will settle down and chill out.
And tell us about it. It's called Dessine Toi.
Well, it's based on a documentary that was done with Picasso some time ago, where he had a black magic marker and just basically was drawing on the glass in front of him, and that was filmed. And they took that concept and they recreated it with children around the world. Just gave them markers and told them to draw themselves, and that's what you see. And it's a very visual, fun film.
So that's at 2:30, again, right after Bach lunch on Friday, before all the grand festivities start. And then at 4 o'clock, it's a film in Louisiana.
This is another local film, and it is based on the Los Isleños community down in St. Bernard Parish. This is an older film. It was done in the early 80s, and a lot of these people are no longer with us. So it's a nice snapshot in time, and it's a nice counterpoint to John's film earlier that we show tomorrow. And it's... like I said, it was in the early 80s, so a lot in that community has changed over those years.
30 years ago.
Yeah, as well as, you know, with the natural disasters that have occurred between now and then. So. Mm-hmm.
If you have just tuned in, we're talking about the festival film series called Soirée du Cinéma. It begins tonight at Cité des Arts. My guest Jennifer Ritter is with CSET, and they have been scheduling these films for a few years now, 5 years. And it's certainly something a lot of people look forward to, again, focusing on Louisiana and French culture all around the world. Yep. So Friday there are two films, and then Saturday you have two films as well.
Yes, and then one on Sunday. It's a full series. The two films that we're showing on Saturday are also films that feature performers at this year's festival. So for those of you who are going out specifically to see Bombino or the group Lindigo, then you might want to also schedule some time to come and see one or the other of these films, because these are the two documentaries about music performers this year, and they're great films. I'm looking forward especially to the Bombino film. It just talks a lot about the area that he came from and the lifestyle that they live, and it's very different. I mean, it's hot here too, but it's not desert. It's a different kind of climate, and a lot of social and political unrest that these people have to deal with, and how they turn that around and find a creative outlet through that is very fascinating.
Right, so that's on Saturday, and that will be at 12:30, again, before a lot of things get started. Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday at 12:30.
The Bombino film that I was talking about is a little later in the afternoon, but the first one featuring Lindigo is at 12:30 on Saturday.
You'd already gone on to the next film.
I did.
All right, so that's two of them, one at 12:30 and one at 3 o'clock on Saturday, again, at the French Press, so very central location to everything that's going on at the festival. You can pop in, get a little sit down for a while, rest your legs, and also see these amazing films again on Saturday about many of the performers at festival. And then you have one more film on Sunday at noon, 12:30, and that takes place, in Belgium and France.
Yes, biographical documentary about a French director, Agnès Varda, on her 80th birthday, like a retrospective of her work and her life. And I've actually wanted to show this film for a few years, so I'm really excited to bring it to festival this year. I think it's going to be very enjoyable. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you mentioned that all of these films are listed in the Pocket Guide.
Yes.
So just get your Pocket Guide. A lot of people are now. They're marking them up, taking that black marks a lot, like the children in Dessine-toi, and making up their own schedule for festivals. So make sure to look at that column that has the films.
Well, it's listed under special events this year, so you will need to look a little closer to find the information, but it's all there. The two films that we're showing on Sunday, like I said, do feature music performers at this year's festival. One of those films about Lindigo will screen just before they're going to be interviewed at another stage at festival. So there's a lot of, like, if for that group in particular, you can kind of immerse yourselves in them. They'll be playing on stage twice. They'll have an interview, and then we'll be screening this documentary. So you have a great opportunity to get to intimately know Lindigo and perhaps speak to him, you know, one-on-one at the interview tent.
Well, that's all part of the creative scheduling that goes on at festival and trying to create just that right experience for yourself. Now, you mentioned that interview tent. That's something that CSET is involved in, and I know Cecil will be involved in that as well. Where is that tent located, and what's going to go on there?
It's on Jefferson Street next to the little park that leads into the parking tower. There is an empty lot, and that area will be taken over by a tent on Saturday and Sunday only. And in that tent throughout the afternoon, on both those days, they'll be conducting interviews with performers. And I just kind of went through everything. Most of the time, you'll be able to see the interview before the group's final performance. There's only one or two instances where the interview takes place after the performances, but it's a great way to ask the questions that you're wondering while you're watching them perform, like, what is that instrument they're playing? How do they make that sound? Where does, you know, this song speaks to me, or I've heard this song, but in another language sung by my grandmother, or, you know, just different kinds of things that may come to your mind. You'll have an opportunity to speak with those performers and ask your questions.
Is there a place where people can find a list of the people who will be interviewed?
Yes, that is also listed in the Pocket Guide. They have a panel devoted to the chat room, and you can find out who will be interviewed by whom and when at that place. And it'll be a great little location. I'm really glad to hear that little lot is being utilized during festival.
Well, just adding so much to everyone's appreciation, enjoyment, and experience of festival. Yeah. My guest, Jennifer Ritter, is with CSET, the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism at the Center for Louisiana Studies here at UL Lafayette, talking about the festival film series, Soirée du Cinéma, which begins tonight at Cité des Arts with Gainsbourg, A Heroic Life, and music afterwards. And then tomorrow, Louisiana premiere of Water on the Road by John Sharp. And all are invited. It's free, no charge for these films, and then it continues throughout festival. Check out the website or the Pocket Guide for a complete listing.
Both the festival website and the Pocket Guide have all of the information. I did want to mention that the French Press will offer their menu to people coming by. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out, but if you're interested in eating while you're watching the film, there will be some way to order food and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I just want to thank Festival International and their entire staff for letting us all celebrate our Francophone culture with all these wonderful guests from around the world that come to join us to have a great time over the next couple of days.
All right. Well, again, check out the website, and that has more information and, of course, the Pocket Guide. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Quand tu seras mort, vieille canaille, tu ne paies rien pour attendre. Je saurais bien te descendre. Je serais content d'avoir ta peau, vieux chameau. Je
aperçu avant.
KRVS Lafayette, Lake Charles.
What's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. Today is the final in the Spring Bayou Bijou film series. At 4 and then again at 7, the series will show the film City of Life and Death, Nanking 2009, directed by Chuan Liu. That's at 4 and then again at 7, the final film in the Spring Bayou Bijou film series. That's at the Bayou Bijou Theater in the Student Union on the UL Lafayette campus. The Soirée du Cinéma, the festival film series, begins tonight at Cité des Arts. You can see Gainsbourg, A Heroic Life. That will be followed by a music performance by Philippe Biadeau and friends. Tomorrow evening at Cité, Water on the Road, a new Louisiana premiere of a film by John Sharp. It was produced and directed and edited by him. There will be a question and answer session with the director afterwards. For a complete list of the films in the series, you can go to the festival website. The UL Lafayette Concert Series presents world-class pianists Chi-Hung To and Dennis Lee in a solo and four-hands piano concert tonight at 7:30 in Angel Hall in the auditorium. They will be performing works by Clementi, Schubert, Liszt, Debussy, Ravel, and Moszkowski. Tickets will be available at the door. If you have a UL faculty staff ID, you can get in free. Louisiana Folk Roots continue their nightly dances at the Balfa Camp. They started up this past weekend, and tonight the band Coubillon featuring Wayne Toops will be performing from 7:30 until 10:30. This is Louisiana Folk Roots sponsoring the nightly dances at Balfa Camp. Tomorrow evening, Gino Delafosse and French Rock and Boogie will perform. On Wednesday, the Huval Family Band. And you can find out more information at lafolkroots.org. The Bachelor of Fine Arts Senior Exhibition is on display now at the Hilliard University Art Museum. The show will be up through Saturday, April 28th, this coming Saturday. 25 graduating seniors are participating in this exhibition, representing ceramics, computer animation, media, metalwork and jewelry, painting, photography, and printmaking. For more information, please contact the Hilliard. FiberCore presents a day-long Camp Fiber for Creatives tomorrow. For more information, you can go to the website fibercore.org or call them at 769-4077. Camp Fiber for Creatives will be taking place at the Acadiana Center for the Arts as a part of Innovate, which is going on all this week in Lafayette. You can find out more about the complete Innovate program through the Chamber of Commerce website. And the Flora Plonsky-Levy Lecture in the Humanities will be taking place tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock in Oliver Hall. That's the Computer Science Building in the auditorium, room 112. The lecturer is Sally Robbins, and her lecture is entitled Henri Bendel, From Louisiana Obscurity to Fashion, Authority, and Bon Vivant Icon. The lecture will be dedicated to the memory of the late Herbert Hyman. That's tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, the Flora Plonsky-Levy Lecture. It is free, and all are invited to attend. The UL Lafayette Symphony Orchestra will give a free concert tomorrow evening featuring Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 4. That starts at 7:30 in Angel Hall Auditorium. Dr. Karen Cox will be giving a lecture as a part of the Banner Series in Lake Charles tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock in Stokes Auditorium in Hardner Hall on the McNeese campus. The title of her lecture is Representations of the South in Popular Culture. For information about the Banner Series, their website is banners.org, and you can find out more about her lecture tomorrow evening. CES Point 2, The Power of Creativity, will be taking place tomorrow from 1 to 6 p.m. That will take place at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Lots of activities going on. You can visit their website for a complete list of activities, ceslafayette.com. From 1 to 4, there will be professional development workshops. From 2 to 4, a fine art portfolio review. From 4 to 5, a genealogy of the artist and art. That's the title of a lecture by Dr. Gerard Edsel. And from 5 to 6, an interactive panel discussion. That's all at the ACA, Creative Action, CES Point 2. And again, this is a part of the Innovate Festival. The Louisiana Poet Laureate Julie Kane will be reading on Wednesday at 7 o'clock in Lafayette at the South Regional Library. This is a reading that is sponsored by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, and she is our Poet Laureate for Poet Laurie. Willie Kigotsili will be speaking at the Ernest J. Gaines Center on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. That event is sponsored by the Ernest Gaines Center, the Friends of the Humanities, and the UL English Department, as well as the Dupre Library. So that's our Louisiana Poet Laureate reading Wednesday evening at 7 at the South Regional Library, and the South African Poet Laureate on Thursday in the Gaines Center, third floor of Burke. The Como Chair Songwriter Showcase will take place on Wednesday in Burke Theater on the UL campus. It's featuring four songwriters, Nathan Williams, Sam Broussard, David Egan, and Yvette Landry, and student songwriters from UL's first ever songwriting course. That is Wednesday, 7:30, and it is free and open to everyone in Burke Hawthorne Hall. City of Lake Charles will host a gallery talk with McNeese art professor Jerry Wubin. He'll be talking about the concept of his work, Monumental Detail, the drawings of Jerry Wubin. That will be Wednesday from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. And there will be an afternoon with New Orleans raconteurs at the Hilliard University Art Museum this Thursday from 3:15 to 4:45. That will be in the Bayou Bijou. Featured will be George Schmidt, Jason Berry, James Nolan, and Gordon Tad Wilson. That's all at through the Hilliard University Art Museum. For more information, please call them. But the event is at the Bayou Bijou Theater in the Student Union. Kaleidoscope, created from two old radio plays by